Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for putting forth your hand and touching my mouth. Thank you, Jesus, for putting your word in my mouth. Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, that your word is anointed to heal the hearts of everybody in this church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that this word will go out into the city and start to heal the people in the city, and that this word will go out into the cities around this city and heal their hearts, and that this word will start curing the false words and false doctrines that have crept into this state, and that the false words and the false doctrines of works will be stomped on and destroyed with your word of grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Man, God is good. Glory to God. I need that Bible. Praise God. You know, some people have a security blanket. I have this. This is my security blanket, you know, and when we were real little and we were still in the Catholic Church because we didn't know any better, ironically, we got filled with the Spirit around the Catholic Church because one of the priests got a hold of the Holy Spirit, and he started having meetings in the middle of the night on Wednesdays when no one knew what was going on. And he started having charismatic type of meetings. I remember going with my mom when I was 5 or 6 years old, and I remember sitting there with that Bible, and I remember just opening the Bible, and I remember just talking to God and saying, God, show me something. Show me something in your word. Show me something to say to people. Praise God. And I was just a little kid, and I didn't even know what I was doing, but man, you know what? I knew God was good. I knew God was good, and I knew God wanted to talk to his people. Amen? And you know, it's funny, the what you think is meaningless prayers as a child, God brings to pass. Because you know what? God did put a word in my mouth. And amen, the word has set me free. And I just hope that it's being received in this city. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. And you know, the Gospel of Mark, and I don't have all day to talk about this, so we'll talk about this another time, but you know, there's four Gospels because they depict a different Christ. They depict a different picture of Jesus. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is pictured as the Lord, our servant. And you know, that pains people to hear sometimes because they've heard so much how they're supposed to serve the Lord. And so they miss out on a whole facet of Jesus' personality, which was to serve us. And you know, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And what did Peter say? He said, that sounds like heresy. You're not washing my feet, Lord. I will wash your feet. And what did Jesus say? Unless I wash your feet, you have no part in me. And so we missed this big picture of Christ our servant. And you know, in the beginning of Mark, I don't know if you guys noticed it, but there's no lineage of Jesus. They don't run through Jesus' ancestry like they do in Matthew and Luke. The reason why is because in Jesus' time, a servant, his ancestry was unimportant. They didn't track his ancestry. And so that's why in the beginning of Mark, it doesn't go through Jesus' lineage. It doesn't go through who he is. In the Gospel of John, it doesn't go through Jesus' lineage because that's depicting Jesus as God. That gospel was written to prove that Jesus was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with us. That gospel was talking about Jesus as God in the flesh. And that's why there's no lineage of Jesus in Mark and John. So praise God. In this picture, we have a picture of Christ our servant and what he does for us and what he did for us. Praise God. And release the lies in your heart that you're supposed to serve him. You know what? He comes and lives in you, and then he serves out of you. That's hard for our brains to get a hold of. It's actually Christ in me that is serving. It's not me serving. It's Christ in me. You know, and God is the great I am. And I am came and lived in me. He came and lived in all of you. And it is him living out of us that is serving. And if we could get a revelation that it's God indwelling me that's producing. It's not me producing. It's God indwelling us. Glory to God. And you know, these verses, they seem very insignificant. They seem like just beginning verses. And what are these verses talking about? I read over these verses a million times growing up and thought, yeah, big deal. That's just a picture of the story. Let me move on to some real meat, you know? Boy, there's some real meat in these verses. And some of you might be looking at them thinking, whatever. But the whole gospel is the whole gospel is told in these two verses. The whole entire gospel is told in these verses. And verse 17 says, Mark chapter 1, verse 17 says, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." Praise God. So let's take a look at what this is saying, man. And I might have to say it a couple of times, but it freaked me out when I first saw it. And in a good way, I mean, I started rejoicing to God, and I came running out and started yelling to Becky, "Look what this says." All right, so Jesus is talking to, I believe it's Simon and Andrew, and if I miss one of their names, you guys will just have to forgive me. Praise God. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men." So the first thing we want to look at is this word, fishers of men. What was Jesus? Jesus was a fisher of men, was he not? Didn't Jesus come to bring people to himself? Didn't he want to draw people to believe in him, to believe in salvation through him? So we know that Jesus was a fisher of men. So when we look at this, it'd be more accurate to say, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become like me." This is what he's saying. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become like me. This is what he's saying to us, guys. This is the gospel. Come ye unto me, and I will make you like me. The whole purpose of what God did when he sent Jesus to die on the cross and raised him from the dead was to put himself in us, to make us like him. That's what he came to do. Glory to God. And so he says, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become like me." Notice he didn't say, "Come ye unto me and learn how to be like me." He did not say, "Come ye unto me and learn how to be like me." You know, and that's the concept we have in the church, isn't it? That we have to learn how to become like Jesus. And when we learn how to become like Jesus, then we are the children of God. And then we're like God. Guys, you can't become like God by what you do. What you do does not define whether or not you're like God. I'm going to say that again. What you do is not the marker for whether or not you're like God. It's whether or not the Holy Spirit is in you that you're like God. You know, my parents came together, and we won't get into specific details, but you guys are adults, you can figure it out. They came together, and I was conceived. And Larry's seed spawned me, right? Now, do I have to do something to be like Larry? Do I have to do something to be like my father? No. I'm like him because his seed is in me. You know, when Jesus, and we'll get to this later, but when Jesus in the Gospel of John in chapter 20, verse 22, it says that he breathed into the disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus was breathing his seed into them. The Holy Spirit is God's seed. God created all of his children in the same way that he gave us the power to create children. He put his seed in us. The Holy Spirit is his seed, and he put it in us. And so we are like God, not because of what we do, but because he's in us. We have his DNA. That's what makes us like God. And see, we've got this perverted mentality that we're like God based on what we do or don't do. And that's a perversion of the truth. And so in these verses, we not only have the picture of the gospel, but we have the other system of works. And the other system is at work in this world. And there's really two systems. You have God's system, which is I will make you become by putting my spirit in you. And then you have the world system, which is do and you will become. The world system says you are not, you must become. Praise God. Jesus said, "I will make you become." This word make means to cause, to perform, to bring forth. So look what Jesus is saying. I will perform the work to make you like me. I will perform everything that needs to be done to make you like me. You will not perform it. You do not perform the works to make you like me. I will cause you to be like me through my works. That's what Jesus is saying to the disciples. I will cause you to be like me through my works. And so when is this going to happen? Is this going to happen right when they come to him? No, it didn't happen right when they come to him. What he's talking about is that he was going to be lifted up and that he was going to die on the cross for their sins and that he was going to cleanse them from their sins and that God was going to raise him from the dead and the Holy Spirit was going to come and live inside of them and then they would be like God. You know, and oftentimes we don't make the connection. We don't know, we don't think about these things, you know, but I used to wonder, why is it that I feel so bad when I fail? Why is it that I feel so bad when I sin? And, you know, just a few days ago, the Lord told me, he said, because you're trying to be like me through your actions. You're trying to be like me through your behavior. You're looking at your behavior and you're determining whether or not you're like God. That's what the problem is in the church. We look at our behavior and we use our behavior to determine whether or not we're like God. But God says you're like me because I will live in you. That's why we're like God. It's not based on what we do. Glory to God. And this is why there's a disconnect with righteousness. You know, and God sent me here to preach righteousness. He told me you're a preacher of righteousness. And you see, we hear about the blood and we know that Jesus cleansed us from our sins. But there's a disconnect with righteousness because we think that our works will be righteous if we're righteous. You see, we're righteous because Jesus is righteous and he's living in us. That's why we're righteous. Because Jesus is living in us and he is righteous. That's why God sees us as Jesus. He looks at us and he sees himself. When you look at your children, do you see yourself sometimes? Do you ever see your kids and think, man, I see them. I can look at people's kids and I can see their kids in them. You know, we played a video from many years ago in our house and I was watching my little sister Christy running around, I guess 3 or 4 years old, and at the birthday party she started talking. And you know what? Immediately I realized that her little daughter talks exactly the same way right now. You know, that's how God is with us. He has given us his seed. His Holy Spirit is living in us. And he sees us as himself because he sees himself in us. That's what makes us righteous. Jesus, when he was risen from dead and he conquered sin, he was righteous and blameless and holy. The second you receive Jesus Christ, the second you become born again, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, and you are as righteous and holy, as blameless as you could ever be. The second you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you are as much like God as you will ever be until you get a glorified body, until he comes back. Guys, we're not trying to become like God. We are like God. We are like God. We are like God. It's God in me that makes me like God. Thank you, Father, that you're living in me, and that makes me like you. Guys, separate this works mentality, because this works system is intertwined through everything in our world. So look what Jesus says, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I will perform the works. I will cause you to become. All you do is rest. You know, another passage says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, all ye that labor. They're laboring to be like God. Guys, you don't realize it, but all the things you're trying to do right, when you get upset, you don't do them right, you're laboring to be like God. We're all laboring to be like God, but we already are like God. And so look what it says after Jesus tells them that I will perform the works to make you like me. I will cause you to become like God when I live in you. Look what it says. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And see, in this second verse, we get a picture of the other system, the work system that is in this world and has crept into every area of our life. That word straightway means immediately. Immediately they forsook their nets and followed him. So, glory to God. What is it that they did? They forsook their nets. So what are their nets representing in these verses? They were fishermen, weren't they? What were they doing with their nets? Working. They were working with their nets. Jesus said, "Come ye unto me, and I will do all the work to make you like me." And do you know what they said? "We will forsake our works to become like you." That's what they said. They said, "We will forsake our works to become like you, because you will make us to become like you." That's what he's talking about here. And straightway they followed him. Do you know what makes people come closer to God? When they get a revelation that he will do all the work to make them like God. That brings you so close to God. You know, I was close to God when I was a kid, and then the law came in, and I died. And, you know, sin was revived because the law came in. And since I started getting a revelation that Jesus has done all the work to make me like God, and I don't have to work to make myself like God, it has brought me right up into his face. And I can feel his breath on me every day. Every day I can feel his breath on me. And you know what was in the way? The works. The works was in the way. Look what happened. Immediately they ran unto him when they got a revelation that Jesus would do all the work to make them become like him. Jesus would do all the work. And they said, "They're no dummies. They know a good deal when they hear one." They're like, "You ain't got to tell me twice." They were Jews. They had been brought up in the wrong system. The system that said, "Do and become like God." They had been brought up in that system. When the second they heard, "You'll do everything to make me like God," man, gangway, pushing mother's children out the way. Let me get to God. He's going to do everything for me so I can be like God. Guys, you are as much like God as you will ever be when you were born again and the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of you. Right now, you are like God. You are not trying to become, you are like God. You see, and we operate from this place as if we're trying to become like God. We're not trying to become, we are. You know, the devil's system is you are not, you must become. And that's what's infiltrated this world. You know, and I ran into a friend of mine from junior high and high school a couple weeks ago, a month or so ago since I've been back. And I used to run in the kind of the same circles as this guy. And, you know, we weren't fine, upstanding young gentlemen at the time. You know, I was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, but I was not a fine, upstanding young man. I was very mouthy and very, "I know what's going on, and I'm going to do what I want to do. So get up out of my way." That's how I was. And he was kind of the same way. Well, you know, God spoke to me, and he removed me from this situation. He said, "Son, I've got this big plan for you, but I'm not going to force it on you," right? You have the free will. And he gave me a couple scenarios. He said, "You could either bust up out of this place right now, or you're going to end up in jail or dead. It's one or the other." And that's what he said to me. And I was no dummy. I busted up on out of here. And I don't think my parents were any dummies too. They gave me a bunch of seed money to get me up on out of here. And I believe that was the Holy Spirit telling them, "Hey, this is the moment. Get him up out of here." And hey, praise God. Even though I had left and I'd been gone so long, I knew I would be back here. I knew in my spirit that God had me back here. And God had me to come back here and stomp on works and to let God in me. You see, it's God in me stomping on the work system. It's not me. It's God in me stomping on the system of works, guys. God is stomping on the system of works. It's God that's stomping on it. And you know, my friend, he didn't have it as fortunate. He ended up getting into a lot of trouble, and he ended up in one of my scenarios. He ended up being incarcerated, and that's where I saw him. I saw him at a halfway house, and he started telling me about this miraculous experience he had with God after he had first gotten arrested, and how he got born again, and the Holy Spirit filled him, and he was just so full of life, and he was running around preaching God to everybody, and how good God was. And then the people that got him saved, they told him that he had to work out his own salvation now. They said, "Now you're saved, and that's great, but now you must work out your salvation." Has anybody ever heard that verse? "You must work out your salvation." Praise God. Glory to God. Oh, what does that mean, work out your own salvation? We're going to hit it right now. We're going to hit it right now. So, how is it that your salvation got in you? Jesus, you believed on Jesus, right? So that's the work that was done to begin with to get the salvation into you. You believed. What did Paul say? As you begun in the Lord, so walk ye in him. So the original work that you made, that you did to get the salvation in you, was to believe. All you did was believe. In John chapter 6, the disciples asked Jesus, what are the works of God that we may do them? What are the works of God that we may do them? And you know what Jesus said unto them? Believe. Only believe. Believing works out your salvation. The more you believe in what Jesus did, that is what works out your salvation. That's what gets your salvation from in you to out of you. The more you believe on what he did on the cross, the more your salvation will come pouring out of you. It's a believing that works out your salvation. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. You know, fear and trembling is only referencing a reverential and worshipful awe of the Lord. So as you're working out your salvation by believing in what he did, guess what? You're going to be in awe. You're going to be in awe of what he did on the cross. You're going to be in awe of what he did for you. You're going to be in awe that he has performed all of the work to make you like God. You will be in awe of that. That's what fear and trembling is. And you know what? Every day I'm in awe of that. More and more every day I'm in awe of what he's done for me. And guess what? Every day, more and more, his salvation is working out of me. You see, God's idea of work is believing, not working. When God talks about his works, he talks about believing, guys. That verse is talking about believing. You know, we must always rightly divide the word, and we must always let Scripture interpret Scripture. Not man interpret Scripture. You see, man, when they see work, they think about toil. When God thinks about work, believe. Only believe. You see, the disciples asked Jesus what God's definition of works was. The works of God is to believe, guys. Believe that you're like God right now. Believe that you're as much like God as you could ever be. Believe that nothing that you do, right or wrong, will impact whether or not you're like God. That's a system of works. If you're judging whether or not you're like God by what you do, you are in the system of works. And we're going to show you where the system of works comes from. But you know, after I talked to my friend, it didn't make me sad because I sat there and started telling him about how holy and righteous he was and how he was as holy and righteous, as blameless as the risen Christ. I started telling him right there, and he looked confused, man. He looked confused because he looked at me and said, man, you were 50 million times worse than I was. Why is it that you believe that you're like God and I don't? You see, and the joy had been ripped out of him by the system of works. The system of works rips the joy out of you that was put in you when you received the Holy Spirit. The system of works rips it out of you, and it makes you separate from God. And it's a system that tells you, you are not like God, now you must become. And that's why you feel separated, because you see all the things that you do, and you think, I'm not like God. And then you feel separated from God. And whose system do you think that is? It's Satan's system. Satan's system is a system of do to become. The law says do and you shall become. That's what the law tells us. Do and you shall become. When I was in high school, I guess that was back in the 90s. Was it the 90s? Yes, we were in high school in the 90s. And you know, when we were in high school, they started with this big fad. And they made these bracelets. And the bracelet said, and they may still be around today, I don't know. The bracelet said, what would Jesus do? And everybody had these bracelets on. You know, the idea of these bracelets was really behavior modification. You'd see that bracelet, right? And you'd start thinking, well, what would Jesus do? I need to do that. And immediately, if you didn't do what Jesus would do, well, how would you feel? You'd feel condemned. And you'd feel like you weren't like God. You see, really what that bracelet is saying to all of us is, you are not like God, you must become. And you must become through your works. That's what that bracelet was really saying. You are not like God, you must become like God. But that contradicts the gospel. It contradicts the gospel that come unto me and I will perform the work to make you like me. Has he performed the work? Then praise God, we have to be like him. We're not trying to become like him. We are like him. It's already finished. It's been done. He has caused us to be. You know, and glory to God, the righteousness teaching, it really gets inside of me. And, you know, God really hit me upside the head, and I don't mean he literally did, with the truth. Sometimes when the truth hits you, you're like, whoa, how did I miss it? You know, how did I miss it? You know, Abraham had a moment where he fell on his face because he missed it. And we'll cover that. But you know, why did Abraham fall on his face? Because Abraham believed a system that said, you are not, you must become. And he tried to become, and look what he produced. Look what he produced. And when he realized that he had trusted in a system of you are not, you must become, he fell on his face. He humbled himself in front of the Lord. Humbling yourself in front of the Lord is forsaking the system that says you must work to become like God. You are not like God, you must become. That's humbling yourself when you forsake your works to be like God. That's true humility. That's when you humble yourself. And so, you know, the Lord really started impressing this upon me, and maybe I'm just the slowest one to come around, but God started showing me that when Jesus died on the cross and was raised again from the dead, that it was a picture of creation all over again. It was a second instant of creation. It was creation in the garden all over again. God was creating man all over again. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I believe, says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. And we talked about Jesus standing in the room with the disciples, but it's, I think it's John chapter 20, verse 22. It says he breathed into them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And I started thinking, well, what does that sound like? And then I started thinking about this system of you are not, you must become. And I thought, where have I heard that before? Where have I heard this, you are not, you must become? And I started thinking about Genesis. The book of Genesis. If I can get this to turn. And Genesis chapter 1, and we won't read through all these verses, so we'll be here all day and the mothers will start throwing their flowers at me. Praise God, I'm fancy with my feet. I'm light on my feet. I can play dodgeball real good. That's what I told them at our water balloon fight, and then I proceeded to get pegged from every direction. So verse 27 in Genesis chapter 1 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So we know right off the bat that God created man to be like him. He intended for man to be like God. When he created man, he said, man will be like me. That's his, that was his intent for man. God has always intended for us to be like him, guys. That's what he's always intended. So verse chapter 2, verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, it says man was formed out of the dust of the ground. Is that what made man like God? Was God formed from the dust of the ground? No. So what made man like God was that God breathed the Holy Spirit into Adam. And Adam became a man full of God. Adam became a God-man. That's who Adam became, a God-man, when God breathed the Holy Spirit into him. Guys, when you were born again and sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, you became a God-man and woman. You became, right then, you were made, you were perfected as a God-man or woman. Bingo, that's it. Jesus performed all the work. That's what he did. So the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So Adam was like God, and Adam was living God's life out of himself. That's what Adam was doing. He was living God's life out of himself. And if we can see this parallel from between the first and second creation, when God recreated man through Jesus, we can see what it is that trips up man. Because we get a perfect picture of it. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, it says that all these things are for our examples, and to whom the ends of the ages have been trusted. The ends of the ages have been trusted to us, guys. The word of God, the word about God and his grace, has been trusted to us. We are the end of ages. That's us. Paul was talking about himself. This is the end of the age. This is the church age. That word has been trusted to us. So everything in the Bible that's happened before is for our example, so we don't repeat the same mistake. It's been entrusted to us. So what is it that tripped up Adam, who had God in him and living out of him? What is it that tripped Adam up? and I guess I didn't put these verses in there, but what tripped Adam up, and maybe it's good, we would have had to read too many, but what tripped Adam up, you see, is that Adam, or Eve rather, Eve started talking to the serpent. And, you know, I always think it's funny, and we were talking about this the other day, that she wasn't surprised that the serpent could talk. It doesn't say anything about her being shocked that the serpent was talking to her. So either that was an insignificant detail, or all the animals talked back then. You know, but, you know, she wasn't shocked. She wasn't like, why is this serpent talking to me? I mean, she was kosher with it, right? She just rolled with it. But you know what the serpent started telling them was that you are not like God. You must become. You are not like God. You must become. And how did he tell them that they must become? You know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a picture of the law. It's a picture of the law. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the law. So Satan convinced Adam and Eve that they were not like God, but they could become like God if they could do the works of the law. If they could perform what the law says, then they would become like God. You know, man, I really started scratching my head because I used to think when I was a kid, how dumb are Adam and Eve? How dumb were they? And look, I won't call them dumb when I get to heaven and I see them. You know, and I heard, I think it's Joseph Prince, I heard him kid one time and say that Adam's in protective custody in heaven because some people are angry with Adam, you know? I mean, we're full of joy when we get to heaven, but Adam's got to be guarded because people are like, where is this Adam guy, right? Where is Adam? I mean, that's what we all think, right? So, man, Adam and Eve bought into this system of you are not like God, you must become. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a perfect picture of that system. And the law is also a perfect picture of that system. You are not, you must become. Here's what you must do to be like God. You see, and that's Satan's system. Satan wanted them to believe you are not, you must become. And once I realized how interwoven this is in our society, I stopped thinking that Adam missed it. Because Adam didn't have Jesus come down and die on the cross. He didn't die on the cross in front of Adam. You see, we all believe that Jesus died on the cross, and we're still eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're still trying to become like God by doing. That's eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We are repeating the same thing. The church has been preaching the doctrine of devils. You are not like God. You must become like God by doing this. That's what the church has been preaching. They've been preaching the Satan's message. They've been getting everybody to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's why we don't see God manifesting in the church. Because we're trying to do to be like God. God will be out of us. God will live in us and live his life out of me. That's what will manifest God in the church. Not works. You know, I haven't gotten into this a lot yet, but we were talking about it at the last Bible study, and people in this area get this whole doctrine really twisted up. But it's the doctrine of election and the election of grace. And what all that means is that God chose grace to save everybody instead of a system of works. You have a system of grace and you have a system of works. And all the election of grace means is that God chose to save everybody, to come and live in everybody through grace and not their works. That's all that means. What that means is God rejected a system of works. God rejected a system of you must do to become like me. He rejected that system. The election of grace is not a predestination message that teaches some people are meant for heaven and some people are meant from hell. That is a doctrine from the pit of hell. The Bible says that it was not God's will that any should perish. It says that he was long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. And I'm going to get off on a tangent if I keep talking about this. But I couldn't help myself from saying that. God rejected the doctrine of works. The doctrine of you are not, you must become. Guys, the church should be rejecting this message of you are not like God, you must become. We should be rejecting this message that you must do to become like God. We need to reject this message. This is not a message that brings freedom. This is a message that brings bondage. Jesus said everybody that was in bondage come unto him. Why? Because we were in bondage trying to become like God. He said, I will make you like me. I will make you become like me. I will cause you to be like me. And we see, we're not looking at the example that Adam and Eve set forth. See, they ate from the tree that said, you are not, you must become. And we're doing it all over again. We're eating from the tree that says, you are not, you must become. Guys, there's no rest in that message. There's no rest in the message of you are not, you must become. You will never become. You could never become through your own works. That's why Jesus took on flesh. That's why God indwelled Jesus and he came to the earth and he performed the system for us. There's no rest in trying to be like God. The rest is understanding that you are like God now. That Jesus has done all the work to make you like God. That's the rest, guys. There's a lot of rest if you can get a hold of the truth that you're like God. Man, communicate with God under that truth. Relate to your heavenly Father under that truth. Thank you, Lord, that you are living in me, and that's what makes me like God. It's real simple, guys, and it's creeped into every area of our life. It's in every area of our life, this concept. All the self-help books, what are they telling you? You are not, you must become. The 5 steps to this, the 20 steps to this, all those steps are telling you are not, you must become through your works. That's what they're teaching you. You are not, you must become through your works. It's in every area of our life. You are not a good mother. You must become by doing this. You are not a good father. You must become. You are not a good spouse. You must become. That's Satan's message. It's crept into every aspect of our life. You are not a success. You must become. That's the law. That's the law. God in me has caused me to become. God in me has caused me to be what I am. Not my own works, guys. Man, praise God, if you can get a revelation of this and start rejecting this system in every area of your life, start rejecting this system of works, start rejecting this system of I am not, I must become. Reject that system. It leads to a perpetual bondage. It leads to working all the time, toiling, and never being like God, and never knowing God, and never being close to God. You know, even just this last couple of weeks, the amount of peace that I've been infused with is just, it's a miracle. And every time I get to another place of peace, I think, man, it can't get any better than this. But all of a sudden, see, I had realized how righteous God had made me. But now, all of a sudden, I'm meditating on this. The great I am is living in me. And that makes me like the great I am, not what I do. Boy, you start getting a hold of that and you can start resting. And you could start resting in the truth that I am like God. God is living in me. I have to be like God. And all we can think about is the works, isn't it? All we can think about is what we must do to be like God. And the second we do something that we think is contrary to God, immediately we say, I'm not like God. And then here comes the condemnation. And then here comes this whole mentality of I am not, I must become. I am not, I must become. Guys, I had that mentality. I saw all my imperfections, and I lived life saying, I am not, I must become. There was never any peace, and it separated me from God. And then God started showing me, you are, because I caused you to become. I performed the work to make you become. And so you are. You are like God. You are like God. It's God living out of you that makes you a good mother. It's God living out of you that makes you a success. It's God in you that causes you to be a good husband or wife. It's not your works. It's not your works. Glory to God. I know this is hard to receive. I know it's hard to receive. I've been preaching it for a couple of days in our house. And hey, these people know the truth and they love the Lord. But boy, they're looking at me like, does that really mean what you're saying? Yes. It is. It means what I'm saying. And we have examples of this throughout the whole Bible, guys. This is what Adam and Eve did. They were like God, but they bought into the system that they were not like God. Well, what made them like God? God breathed his life into them. When Jesus came back, he breathed his Holy Spirit into us. So straight away, we were like God. And we're buying into this system that we are not like God and we must become. It's the exact same thing that Adam and Eve did. It's the exact same thing. And it's worse because we see Jesus. We see what Christ has done on the cross. The church preaches Christ on the cross, and then they preach Satan's message. They preach his message of you are not, you must become. That message, man, has destroyed this thing that was alive in my friend. The message of you are not, you must become will kill the life flowing out of you. It will strangle the life of God out of you so that it can't manifest. It's still there. It's still flickering. You know, and a prophet gave me a word when I came here. He said the people in Louisiana have a fire for God like nobody's seen ever. He said there's a fire for God in the lives of the people in Louisiana that will blow the world off the map. And he said the fire has not been put out, but it's flickering. He said it's flickering. He said that fire is flickering. He said, and it's a system of works that has caused the fire to flicker. And there's a system of works in this whole state. And it's been propagated by the church. Glory to God. You know what he said? He said, you're free. He kept saying it. You're free. You're free. You're free. That's why this is going to happen. He said, you're going to go stomp on this system of works. And he said, there's a bunch of people there that are going to stomp on this system of works. And this little fire that's flickering is going to explode. And it's going to take over the state. And it's going to encompass the whole country. Glory to God. We are establishing the election of grace here. And it ain't that some are for heaven and some are for hell. It's that God died for everyone. That's the whole point of the election of grace. The whole point of preaching the election of grace was to explain to the Jews how everybody was going to be saved. Because the Jews said, how can everybody be saved? The election of grace is the proof that everybody can be saved. It's the proof, not the evidence that some will be saved and some are meant for hell. That's a perversion of God, man. That blasphemes the name of God. That profanes the name of God. So we have this happening throughout the Bible. And we look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 through 5. And I'm just going to read through these real quick. And this is God talking to Abraham. And it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am thy righteousness. I am thy holiness. I am thy blamelessness. God in me is that, not my works. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. You see what Abraham was telling God? I am not. How am I going to become? You see, and you see what God's telling Abraham? He's showing Abraham that he is the father of many nations and that he will make him the father of many nations. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. So right off the bat, we see Abraham struggling with this, looking at himself. I am not, I must become. How can I become what you're telling me I'm going to be when I have no heir? I have no seed. And God shows him the stars in the heaven and tells him, I will make you the father of many nations. You know, when Abraham tried to believe this, praise God, and Abraham's the father of faith, and you know, but what we see happen to Abraham is the same thing that happened to Adam and Eve, and the same thing that is trying to happen to us all over again that we will not stand for. We will not stand for a system of do to become like God. We will not stand for that system, ever. We will never stand for that system in this church. We will always reject it. But look what happened to Abraham and Sarah. In chapter 16, and we won't go through these verses, but in chapter 16, you know what they started believing? I am not, I must become. They started believing, we are not, we must become. And do you know what they did when they started believing, I am not, I must become? They turned to their works. They turned to their own works. And they decided, we will bring to pass the seed through our own works. You see the two systems? God will make him to become the father of many nations, and the man's system. Do and become the father of many nations. The system all over again. This happens throughout the Bible, guys. You'd be shocked how many times, over and over, this scenario is played out. You know, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. And we think, how did they miss it? Here, I mean, they're looking at us in heaven thinking, how can they miss it? Jesus came. At least they get to see Jesus. How did they miss it? And we're thinking they missed it. Guys, this whole system is played out all over again. So Abraham and Sarah said, I am not, I must become. And then they started trying to become. And what happened? Did the sin come before or after they tried to become? After. After. You know what's funny is, it's the message of you are not, you must become. That's what causes sin. Actually, that's what gives life to sin. It's the message of the law that causes sin to abound in people's lives. Abraham and Sarah didn't sin till they started believing, I am not, I must become. And then they sinned. You see, we got it backwards. We're preaching the message, I am not, you must become. That keeps us safe from sin. That propagates sin in our lives. This message of I am not, I must become. You know, the Bible says that the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law. And yet we have pastors and preachers and leaders in the church stand up at the pulpit and preach the law every Sunday. And we wonder why the people are sinning. Because we are telling them, you are not, you must become. That system leads to sin. It's not me saying this, it's the Bible. The strength of sin is the law. It's plain as day. So glory to God. Abraham and Sarah, they fell into the same trap. I am not, I must become. Guys, that's the trap for all of us. That voice that says, you are not, you must become. That's the same trap for all of us, guys. It's to get us to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's to get us to eat from the law. This concept of I am not, I must become. Glory to God. And look what happened. Genesis chapter 17. I love the stories of Abraham. And you can get a lot of gospel in these stories, as you can get the gospel anywhere in the Bible. The gospel is all over in the Bible. I heard a guy a couple days ago preach the gospel like I had never heard, in a way that I had never heard it. And I just thank the Lord that he's raising up so many people in the body of Christ right now that are seeing a different side of the gospel. And some of those people are in this church. They're in this church right now. There's people in this church right now that God is raising up that sees a different side of the perfection of the gospel. It's in you because you are like God. You are like God. It's God in you that sees that picture of the gospel. It's not yourself. So look what it says. And when Abram, Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. This is the first time God presents himself as El Shaddai, which is what this Almighty God means. And you can learn a lot of things studying the Bible, seeing how God presents himself. When God first presented himself in Genesis, during creation, he called himself Elohim. Elohim is a plural for God. And that's why he said, let us make man. He was acknowledging that God was more than one thing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when he presents himself under creation, he calls himself Elohim. This is the first time that he calls himself El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Guys, this is the exact same thing that Jesus said to Simon and Andrew and Mark. When you look at this in the Hebrew, come unto me and I will cause you to be perfect because I will make you like me. This is what he's saying to Abraham. Abraham had just turned to this system of works, and God is preaching to Abraham the same way Jesus told Simon and Andrew. Forsake the system of you are not, you must become, and come unto me and I will cause you to become by my works. That's what God says to Abraham. And God's saying, when I make you like me, then you'll be perfect. He's not telling him as a command, go be perfect. And look what he says, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, why did Abraham fall on his face? Because he was forsaking the system of, I am not, I must become. See, Abraham realized, I bought into the system of works to become. And so he humbled himself and he realized it's not my works that will make me like God. It's God in me that will make me like God. He forsook it. He humbled himself. Glory to God. And God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. Look what he says. I made you a father of many nations. And look what God does. And this is so profound. And this is one of my favorite messages in the Bible. And it's so awesome when you start studying the individual Hebrew letters and you start seeing what some of these letters mean. And if any of you really love to study the Word, I could turn you to some great teaching about the individual letters of Hebrew. But God changed Abram's name to Abraham. And even just on the surface, Abraham means the father of many nations. And so God started having people called Abraham the father of many nations. He started having them confess it. But that's not what we're going to get into right now. That's another message. But when God changed Abram's name to Abraham, he added one letter. And the Hebrew letter that he added is the fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And it's the letter He. And the letter He means grace. And so God added grace to Abraham in order to make him become. He breathed grace. You know in the Bible that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace? That it calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Grace in Zechariah 12:10 and in Hebrews 10:29. It calls it the Spirit of Grace. Do you know what God did? He breathed his Holy Spirit into Abraham and caused him to become the father of many nations. He breathed the Spirit of Grace into Abraham and caused him to become. How do you think we're going to become? By him breathing the Holy Spirit into us. Guys, when you're born again, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's the gospel. Forsake the gospel that was preached to us that we all believed was forsake the system of you are not, you must become. Believe on me and that I will do all the work to make you become like me. That's what we all believed. And we've all gotten so far from that. We've forgotten that that's what we originally believed. Isn't that what was so freeing when we first got saved? Isn't that what we were all thinking? Praise God, I can't do it. That's the whole message of the gospel. Forsake the system of I am not, I must become, and believe that I will perform all the works for you and cause you to become. That's what we believed in. That's what Abraham believed in right here. And that's what God did to him. The same thing he did to us, the same thing he did to Adam to cause Adam to be like God. He breathed his Holy Spirit into him. And he changed Sarah's name too. Later on in this chapter, he changes her name with the exact same letter. The exact same letter he adds to her name. The letter for grace. Hey, you no longer become Sarai, you'll be Sarah. You know, the interesting thing is Sarah's last the last letter in Sarah's name was the 10th letter in the alphabet. What else bears the number 10? The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. See, God said the system is not a system of works. It's a system of grace. The election is not of works. It's of grace. And he breathed his Holy Spirit into them when he added grace. That's the same thing he did with Jesus when he raised Jesus from the dead. He recreated us. We have all become new creations. And the only thing that can cause us to be tripped up is to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to eat from the law, this system of I am not, I must become. That's the only thing that can take us off course. This system of I am not, I must become. That's what led Abraham into sin. Do you know the sin Abraham committed is still bearing fruit in the world today? Millions of people have died because Abraham bought into the system I am not, I must become. That's what brings forth sin in our lives, guys. Don't see the sin. See the great I am. See Christ. See that Christ breathed grace into you. And he sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that's what makes me like God. Meditate on that. That's really what we all want, right? Whenever you're a little kid and you look up and you see your daddy, you just want to be like dad, don't you? You just want to be like your dad. A lot of you grown men in here right now, I could probably get into talking about you wanting to be like your dad, and I can bring you to tears probably. Because when you see your dad and you want to be like God. That's what's troubling us. We see our Heavenly Father and we want to be like him. And our Heavenly Father is saying, you are like me. You are God men and God women. Because I indwell you. That's what he's saying. That's what makes you like me. Praise God. And so thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you've breathed your Holy Spirit into us. Lord, I just thank you that you breathed your grace into us, Lord. And I just release your grace into everybody in this church. Thank you, Jesus, for your Spirit of grace. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made us like you. Thank you, Jesus, that you have performed all of the work to make us like you. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made us in your image. Lord, we just rebuke and reject the system of I am not, I must become. Lord, and we stomp on the system of I am not, I must become. Lord, I release the gift of discernment into everybody in this church so that they can see and recognize and discern the system of I am not, I must become. And they can see that you have breathed your spirit into them and that your spirit is what makes them like you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for making us like you. Lord, we just glorify and praise your name that you made us like you, that you performed the work that we were unable to perform to make us like you, and that you have come and lived inside of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.